Hey everyone, welcome to Bitchin' Bout Broadway, where we talk about Broadway behind your back. I'm your bitchin' host, Elijah Zurich, and today I have my bad bitch bestie and mother, Nikki Zurich.
Hello, I'm back again.
She's back at it. So this segment is going to be a little different. We got some vibes today. So we review shows and we discuss particular shows. However, today, we're going to be talking about what every person that is aspiring to do theater, or even is in it, currently, actively, we're talking about the audition process. And this includes resumes, headshots, and research/preparation. Thank you so much, Mom, for being in here. So, my mom is absolutely fantastic. She is an expert because she's been with me every step of the way since my very first show, Willy Wonka Kids, to now, Brighton Beach Memoirs. We've come a long way, haven't we?
Yes. 8 years.
Yeah.
Of performances.
Yeah, and I never stop. So, and I've done probably over 40 or 50 shows now at this point. Like,
yes.
Because like a couple years ago, I counted and it was like 39, and I was like, woo, but like I've done a lot since then, so I think that we're there. So I mean, I've had a lot of experience and I've gone a lot of places and I've learned a lot, good and bad, made the mistakes. So we're going to be talking about like all of the things that you have to do to find auditions, get auditions, and
What you need to take to the auditions.
Like,
you can't just show up empty-handed.
No, absolutely not. It's like
how do you dress for an audition?
Yeah, dress to impress. And we're also going to be talking about, like, you know, like, what it is for, like, the parents. Because my mom's been there behind the scenes with me. And she's had to deal with a lot as well. And she's had to take me places, deal with me, and, you know, just...
It can be stressful. It can be heartbreaking if there's something that you really want and you don't get it.
Yeah, Billy Elliot.
Especially when the kids are younger, you know. Yeah. I mean, at any age, if you really want something. But I think it's hard on the parent when it's...
With COVID, I haven't had a lot of auditions that I've, like, had, like, high stakes for. And, like, if I don't get this, I'll cry. But the one or two that I have had like that, I've actually gotten, and I've been very lucky, and that was Sweeney Todd, and, well, I mean, I had a few others, and then, like, also Shrek, and...
Yeah, she had to go back for a few callbacks for that.
I had Shrek, I had Sweeney Todd, oh, and before that, Mamma Mia, but that wasn't during the pandemic, but I remember being very dead set on Mamma Mia,
yes,
and
the part you wanted.
That caused turmoil in the household. I was like, I'm just waiting to hear.
Yeah, yes, it's the waiting, too. It's just a whole... It's very stressful, the whole process.
It's a whole series of events. So, anyways, without further ado, we're going to kick off our episode with a song from Dreamgirls. This is Jennifer Hudson singing You're Gonna Love Me. This is fantastic, and she has an amazing audition story for this, and she killed it. I love this song. I'm sure you've heard it. It's quite iconic. So I'll catch you on the flip-flop.
And I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man I'll ever know. There's no way I can ever go. I'm not living without you. I don't wanna be free. I'm stuck. I'm you. You're gonna love me. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back. If you're just now tuning in, this is Bitchin' 'Bout Broadway Hawk Radio on Anchor FM. I'm your host, Elijah Zurich, and joined by me today is the bad bitch mother ship, Mama Nikki. What's good?
Yes, I'm excited to be here again.
So the song we just heard was You're Gonna Love Me from the Broadway musical Dreamgirls, sung by one of the best vocalists ever, Jennifer Hudson. We love me some J-Hud. So, she had a great audition story for this, too. Like, she was on, what show was it?
American Idol.
American Idol. And she didn't make it to the top, whatever number it was.
10.
Top 10. Thank you.
She was, like, number 11.
She got voted off. And she was like, no, why was I voted off? But then she auditioned for this. And she got it. And she was
which
iconic.
Is the movie, Dreamgirls, the movie.
Yes. And she got the Oscar.
She won the Oscar.
And now she's out here, like, over Christmas singing with Mariah Carey, like, the queen vocalist and new queen vocalist, Ariana Grande. Like, literally, the three of them, that trio, amazing. It lives in my head rent-free. I think it's, like, that is going to be something we listen to every Christmas. Like, it just, it's iconic. I mean, it's great.
I like to use her success story that, yeah. Like, to remind you, like, sometimes if you don't get something, like, she wanted so badly to be in that top 10 for the American Idol so she could do the tour, the national tour with them. And she was devastated that she did not make the top 10, that she got booted at the 11. But that's why I like to say, if she had not, you know, she even said, She would never have auditioned for Dreamgirls, which led to the Oscar. So it's a blessing sometimes. Sometimes no's are a blessing.
I mean, I've certainly had that. I had a couple no's that, like, when I auditioned for Billy Elliot when I was younger, I was heartbroken because I really wanted the part, but I didn't get it. I wanted to be Billy or Michael. I didn't get either. And I was really sad, and I didn't work for about, like, 6 months. I remember, like, I auditioned for that, I auditioned for Addams Family, and I lost, like, 2 dream shows within the span of, like, 2 months.
I remember that. That's true, I remember, too.
I remember I was like, oh, my gosh. And then, like, no shade, but I was in a production of Beauty and the Beast Jr., and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm in a junior show when I could be doing these full-length shows, but I'm, like, not good. And, you know, it was one of those, because I had already been in full-length shows and had that experience and, like, working with adults and at that level of just mentality in the workplace, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
How old were you at the time? You're, like, 12?
Yeah, I was 12. And then I turned 13, and there was a production of 13 the Musical, which is a show that fit me, like, totally at the time, like, all the guy parts. And I was like, you know what? We're going to go for it, and we're going to see what happens. And I got it, and then I was in Broadway World, and it was such a good part for me. And it was one of my most, like, it was like a character development moment. It was like when Spider-Man gets his powers. It was one of those moments, because it was such, like, a little foundation of who I am today. So I couldn't be happier that that's what happened.
That's what happens with the audition process. I mean, it's such an up and down process.
And I've worked ever since. I mean, depending on the role. I mean, of course, there were things, like, I was at the awkward stage around that time, too, because there weren't, I was too old for younger parts, but I wasn't quite old enough for older parts, even though I definitely could have handled some of them better than the adults that were cast at the time. And, like, a few of, like, the community theater shows, the, like, nearby. Not saying I was, like, bro, I wasn't Rachel Berry. I wasn't Lea Michele in Glee, like, the best ever. But, you know, I was trained, and I had these experiences, and it's like when you taste something and then you just can't, you're insatiable after that. So that's how I felt for a while. And, you know, high school theater is really good because you get to play these parts at such a young age, because everyone in your age group is your age. So it's kind of an even playing field. So
yes, I've been doing that. Community theater, and the high school productions. Yes, it is great.
And I've been doing high school productions. Like, I did Mamma Mia, I did Les Mis. Well, I've done a few of these multiple times, but recently Mamma Mia, Les Mis, Sweeney Todd, Songs for a New World,
Jekyll and Hyde.
No, I haven't done Jekyll and Hyde in high school yet. Well, I mean, when I was younger, but I still played the child part.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like, those shows that I was talking about.
It was a high school production. Sorry. Yeah. That's what I was thinking
of. No, I know. But I was, like, 9 years old when I did it. And I've done a lot of high school productions as a small child because, you know, like, Les Mis, they needed Gavroche. Or Jekyll and Hyde, they needed the newspaper boy. Or Sweeney Todd, they needed Toby. So I was the child for those, like, teenagers. But now that I have grown up, I've gotten to be the teenager, and I've gotten to be, like, close with the kids, because I know what it's like. You know, it's like passing the torch. Like,
yes.
I remember when I went to audition for Les Mis, and there were, like, 6 or 7. Actually, no, there were, like, 8 little kids, because they had little girls for a little Cosette, too. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I remember when I was you. Like, it was, like, kind of passing the torch, and then I vibed, and I got to be Thénardier, and, you know, he interacts a lot with little Cosette in the beginning, so. Yes. I always try to make sure that I am good to my, like, to the younger people in the show, because I've even talked to older kids, well, not even older kids, but, like, older people now that I am one of the older people, I guess. I'm like, why don't you just talk to the kids? They're like, oh, I don't talk to them because, like, not because they did anything wrong, but just because they don't want to, like, associate. But when I was younger, when people would do that to me, I thought that I, like, messed someone over and I didn't know what I did. But now I know. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
They're just teenagers.
Not even just teenagers. Like, I met a 25-year-old dude, and he was like, oh, I don't talk to the little kids, like, at one of the intensives. And I was like, wait, that's why? You know, I was so, I don't know, because that's just not how I work. But anyways, I digress.
Yes. So back to
the audition. Yeah, but I've been very lucky, and I am very well trained in terms of, like, I have great teachers, and I've been given some great opportunities that I've gotten to learn from. So, I mean, that's all part of it, too. Yes. Always train. I mean, like, yes, of course, have style, and don't kill your art by putting yourself in a box. I mean, that's something people think that's training by, like, defining who you are, but sometimes, but training shouldn't be defining who you are. It should always be, like, exploring who you are. So, anyways.
We're probably jumping ahead a little bit. So, if no one's auditioned before, or right. if they want to go out for community theater.
Yeah. It's always good to start there, because, you know, you don't want
to. Or a school production, or a.
At a school production, what I would honestly recommend is, like, finding, like, a voice teacher on, like, and, you know, everything is so accessible now. I mean, in like, the world of COVID, because we have, because now we have, like, TikTok, and we have Instagram and Facebook, and everything is more virtual. So, finding coaches and people to run your material by is so much easier. But anyways,
Yes, eventually, you know, when people start to train, but if I just want to try something, and I have no training, what do I do?
Yes. So, I'm sure you've heard of performers like, we just heard, Jennifer Hudson, Idina Menzel, Hugh Jackman, and Ariana Grande. But have you ever thought about how they got to their level of performance entertainment? I mean,
because they're like the top tier.
They are. They're the god tier, I would say. And I'm sure you would be surprised to know, like, regardless of the level they're at now, the confidence they exude and the millions of fans, followers that they have now, they all began with an audition as an unknown performer. And I'm pretty confident that each of these musical theater performers were probably nervous when they entered the audition room. Auditioning is really just a job interview. Like, the best advice I could give is honestly just show that you're a good hang. Because no one's going to want to hire you if you're, like, you stand there and you stand on your ex and you're like, hi, I'm Elijah Zurich. And you just stand there and you're scared because they're like, oh my gosh,
that's, and you probably are going to be scared going in.
You're going to be scared, but
you have to show your personality.
Exactly. And I mean, I always try to show that, like, and you have to read the room too. Are they looking for someone that's sweet, or are they looking for someone that's, like, kind of cool, you know? Like, and there's like different levels. Like, in the show I'm in now, it's like, it's everyone is an adult. The youngest, there's only one other person under 18 that's younger than me, and she's 16. So I get to be kind of vibe with her, but, like, all the other adults, I'm like, oh, they would just prefer me if I were, like, super sweet and be kind, and, I mean, that's how you should always be, but they don't necessarily want, like, you integrating and being, like, fun with them, because their humor's different, and, I mean, I don't know, they're just, like, a different tribe. So you have to read your room, too. So, like, if they're looking for someone cool, and also you can kind of tell by the show. Like, if you're doing cabaret, they're looking for someone kind of cool. Yes. But if you're doing Sound of Music and they're looking for the kids, they need some sweet kids that can get the job done, that are going to be super fun to work with because they're super sweet and everyone's going to love them. You know, that's what they're looking for. So always read your room. But I show that you are cool to hang out with. But
willing to learn.
Exactly. Willing to learn. Be open. And the best thing I would say is to always, after rehearsal, ask if the director had any notes on your performance or whatever. But I digress anyways. I get so excited about it.
I know.
Auditioning is a job interview, and they want to see who you are. And make sure to only show the good parts because, you know, it gets so meticulous. So, though many of you may never audition for the stage, but I'm like, 100% sure that each and every one of you will audition. You can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes. Audition for at least one job in your life. Because we're all constantly auditioning. Like, even if you're going out, like, on a date, you know?
Yes. Or
that's a little audition.
Or college auditions, even. I mean, yeah. Colleges, when people interviews. Are applying to the college. Yeah, college interviews. All of that.
Musical theater college is, like, really difficult because we are being interviewed. But we also have to audition. Like, we have to.
Yes.
We also have to send in a video and of us singing, doing all of that fun stuff. The dancing, singing, acting, monologues, songs, combos, different styles of dance. So we're auditioning while we're being interviewed. And it's a tough process. And that's why there's so many programs now that are like labeled like college audition, like college audition workshops. Yes, and I think that is really good.
Just
I think
to that's help a, you prep specifically.
I think that's such a good thing to have now because, I mean, the books that are written on it, by the time they're published, they're already outdated. It, honestly, in my opinion, if it's a year old, it's too old. I'm like, I need to know the facts this year. I need to know what they're looking for this year. Because they are, because things are, things have changed because of COVID.
Yes.
And then B, they're prioritizing certain things over others. So right now, they're looking to represent more niche people. And that's so wide. Like, that could be A, ethnicity, which is probably the most obvious because, you know, there wasn't that much for, like, certain ethnicities before, but now we've become so open and
it's more diverse.
And, like, so that's A. And then, like, people with certain disabilities or, you know, different challenges are also being prioritized, and also different sexual orientations, like I've seen that some places are looking more into non-binary students and whatnot, and I think it's really good that those people are being heard.
Yes.
So, yeah, so, I mean, like, but that's completely different than it would have been just a year ago.
Yes.
So, this is very new for, like, people, seniors, like, high school seniors that are going into colleges next year. This is very different, and this isn't the world they thought they would live in last year. So, it always changes. So, you know.
Yes. So, yes. Yeah, so, I guess you could go in, and they could ask you a series of questions, or they might just expect you to do... Usually if you go in for an audition, they have an expectation. They give you a list. Bring this, bring your song, bring a headshot, fill out this form. And sometimes they speak to you. When you go into an audition, Elijah, do they or sometimes they ask you questions?
Depends on how it goes. And also depends on what they're looking for. Like, sometimes I've just walked in the room and I guess I've looked like something they were looking for. And they'll ask me questions. And then I'll do my thing. Or sometimes I'll do my thing, and then they'll be like, oh, sit. And I just, like, I'm like, where? So then I just sit on the floor, and they talk to me. So I've done things like that. And then one time when I auditioned for Shrek, my monologue, I knew they loved John Mulaney. So instead of doing a monologue, I did a John Mulaney stand-up. So then we talked about that. And it was, like, one of those things, like, whew. And then I gave, like... I try to give, like, little stand-ups, but I don't force it. I mean, if I find something funny, I'll make sure to say it's funny. But, like, if I don't see anything that I find funny, then I'm not going to say it, because you never know. And yes. It's not going to come off sincere if it's not sincere. You can't fake it.
And sometimes you know, because that was a place you'd auditioned before, so you were familiar with your...
My terrain.
Right. But you may not do that at a new location where you didn't know anyone on the panel. And sometimes you have several people on the panel.
Yes, but sometimes you can read them easy, too. Like, I've done that before, too. Like, I did BAA, and I would
read them. Broadway Artists Alliance in New York.
Yes, and they're wonderful, and I love them. They're so delightful. But I don't know. I just went, and I was like, okay. And I, like, felt it out, like, my audition. They do an audition tour, and they came to Florida to audition, like, kind of scouting. So I went to that. And that's how I got in. So I went to that, and they accepted me, and I went to New York that summer. But I already knew, like, the feeling from that audition, because I remember them just being, like, so kind.
Yes.
And I met the CEO, and she was great. And then I met, like, one of the dance instructors that was, of course, a Broadway star. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so, like, legit.
And that was high stakes for you, because that was something you really wanted.
Oh, I cried after.
In fact, you said, don't tell anyone I auditioned, just in case you didn't get in, I remember.
Oh, yeah, and, like, also in theater, like, I mean, everyone has it. There's always someone that doesn't like you, or someone who's jealous, or, like, somebody that, like, screwed you over when you were, like, five. You know, like, and I have those because, I mean, I've only done theater in this state. And I've, as many states as I've lived in, this is the only one I've done theater in. So, I was like, I don't want her and her and him knowing that I went out for this, because if I don't get it, I know that they're going, because they had, like, auditions at schools, and they went to a performing arts school, and I'm homeschooled, so I was like, They're not going to know.
They already knew they got in.
Oh, yeah. And I went, my audition was an hour away. Like, I went to a town where no one knew me. I was like, we're not taking the risk. But also now my confidence is so boosted because I got in. I've done other intensives since then, like different companies. And now I'm like, I could get into your intensive, no problem. Like,
but the point is, it can be very scary, yeah, very but then when
I
got,
so after that audition, I cried because, like, the tension of that, like, whole, like, 2 weeks leading up to it, I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. So then I did that. And then after that, and then once I got in, it was like 11 days later, they sent me my little acceptance letter and I cried at Disney World because I was in the line for Anna and Elsa because my cousins were in town and they're little. So we went to go meet Anna and Elsa and I love Frozen. So of course I got into it. So I was there and then I got out of the line after I met him and then I looked at my phone and my dad had called me and he was like, dude, you got in. And I was like, ah. So then I was like crying around Epcot and my aunt was like, period. And she was like, she was totally wasted. It was Food and Wine Festival. So it was a great time.
Anyway, so anyone going in for an audition, they just need to be brave. I'm not sure if it gets any easier, especially like you said, if it's something you really want.
I don't think it does. Bit of nerves. As long as I've done it, I have the same level of nerves. I mean, sometimes it's really bad because I've had instances where things were like heightened. Notice I knew certain people were going to be there, like, whether it be people auditioning. Because, I mean, I've been to some auditions where I just, like, could not stand a couple people that were auditioning. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And they're going to be there, and they're going to, like, give me that backhanded comment. Because...
Or you, what if you all end up in the show together? Then you're like, do I have to perform with these people?
Oh, yeah. And there's always that. And, I mean, like... It's honestly not a point of, like, being like, oh, I'm disagreeable and this, that, and the other. That's not even what's happening. It's really just, like, there's always someone that, like, that, I mean, everyone has this person. Everyone I know has this person. Yeah, like,
it could be in school. It could be in sports.
Like,
it could be,
I've met, like, some...
work.
You know, like, some of my friends are the sweetest people in the world, wouldn't hurt a fly, and they have, like, so many of these people that are, like, out to get them or just, like, shady toward them. And I'm like, why? She's so sweet. She's so much nicer than me. So, it's just, like, a thing. It just comes with it. So, that's where my nerves come from. I'm like, oh, my gosh. If he knows that I did not book... you know, it's like that. Or yeah. If we both booked this and I have to see him every day, it's one of those things. But that's just, like, growing up. Like, you have to do things. But anyways, Mom and Nikki, I have a question for you. Have you ever auditioned for anything?
I did. I auditioned for church musicals, but it was nothing formal like what you go through. Because mine was like, ah, you're in the youth choir, and they just kind of picked you. So I never had to get up and sing and be asked questions, and have to respond to that. I've done lots of interviewing, yes, and I know that that's similar.
Mama Nikki has her master's degree, guys.
So I didn't have to sing for anyone like that during my interviews. Thank goodness I wouldn't have booked those jobs.
And Mama Nikki says she can't sing, but she's also the same girl that, like, literally harmonized with me today at the Moe's. Like, we were in the Moe's line, and I forget what I was singing. Then I was singing...
It was Mamma Mia.
Oh, I was
And
like,
I was totally... It was totally an accident, because I'm, like, tone deaf.
It was Dancing Queen. I was like, having the time of your life, ooh. You didn't do that, but it was so
I
cute.
Know. See, I can't do
you
it
went
twice.
Like, ooh, and it like it just like was crisp, and I was like, ma'am.
It was a miracle that it happened.
I was like, ma'am, you really just harmonized with me in the line for Moe's. So, Mama Nikki, you're lost talent.
Yes, thank you. So the audition, they need to have stuff with them when they go in, but I think we'll talk about that after the break, of what they need to take with them when they go to the audition.
Yes, we will. So... Our next break, we're going to have one of... Oh, my gosh. I love this song so much. This is from the TV show Smash. Every theater kid watches this. This song is our anthem. The show is about these two girls. Well, it's actually about, like, so many people. But the main characters are these two girls, and they're both going in for the same part. And they're both in the callbacks, and then one of them is the understudy, and one of them gets the part, and then they, like... keep fighting for the part. I think it was a little more made a little more complicated for, like, television purposes, but
it's very soap opera-esque.
It was, but it was so good, and it was so true in so many ways. But it was like a Broadway audition, and like the Broadway show, the making of an original Broadway show, and then, like, one of them got another part. But my favorite part about the show was that one of them got like, booked a different show that was originating at the same time, and they weren't just fighting for the role at that point, they were fighting for the Tony that year, and I was like, oh my gosh, they really just raised the stakes. Anyways, it's such a good show. If you
haven't seen it. What is the song?
Okay, period.
This from Smash.
This is Let Me Be Your Star from the TV show Smash, sung by Catherine McPhee, the icon that is Catherine McPhee.
Yes.
And Megan Hilty, and I love her. And fun fact, she's the singing voice of Snow White in Shrek. And it is so funny to me because I grew up with Shrek, and I love that scene, and it's so iconic. So I grew up with Megan's voice, and I love her. So we'll catch you on the flip-flop. I hope you enjoy it. Mwah.
With a hunger for fame, and a face and a name to remember. The past fades away, because as of this day, Norma Jean's gone, she's moving on. Her smile and your fantasies play a duet that will make you forget where you are. The music starts playing, it's the beat of her heart sing, let me be your star. Flashback to a girl with a song in her heart as she's waiting to start adventure. The fire and drive that make dreams come alive, they fill her soul, she's in control. The drama, the laughter, the tears just like pearls, well they're all in this girl's repertoire.
Welcome back. You are listening to Elijah and Nikki at Bitchin' About Broadway on Hawk Radio, Anchor FM. We just heard Let Me Be Your Star, sung by the fantastic Catherine McPhee and Megan Hilty. The song is from the TV series Smash that is set to become a Broadway show, but called Bombshell.
Yes, I was excited about that because we love the Smash series so much. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to BAA, they give you this pamphlet and they pass it out to the parents. Mm-hmm. And it has a list of Broadway shows that are presently on Broadway, and also had a list of stuff that was in the works. And when I saw that Bombshell was actually being made into a Broadway musical with the writers, the same writers. They did Hairspray. They did the music for Mary Poppins Returns. Yeah. And, of course, they did the music for Bombshell. I mean, for Smash. I was like, oh, my gosh, they're actually going to make the fictional story in the show Smash an actual... and it needed to be done about Marilyn Monroe. So we're excited. I hope they keep all these songs.
Bombshell, the show that they have in the show Smash. The show in the show.
Yes,
is, the show it's Bombshell, and it's about the life of Marilyn Monroe. So I think Bombshell is perfectly fitting for that.
Yes. The name. So I hope that they press on and they continue to do that one. That would be great.
Yes. So anyways, I just love the song and I think it's great. So... Mama
Nikki. Yes, so we were talking about getting ready for auditions, but when you show up to an audition, you need some things to have in hand with you. So I would say one of the very first things we need when we walk in, I say we, the royal we, because it's you, not me.
Okay.
I would say the very first thing that you need is a resume.
It is, really. It is a resume, and I mean, honestly, everybody... that I know, like, I look at when I see their resume, I'm very critical. I'm like, okay, but, like, how is this layout? Is the print too small? Sometimes people will just pack in everything. I'm like, I can barely read this.
Yes. I mean, because they do say don't be any more than 2 pages. Ideally, you should only be 1. And yeah. We all want to brag and say, look at what I've done. Look what I've done. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. But actually, you really only need to do the big stuff. And it was hard for me updating your resume because you're like, please take off that I was the Candyman and Wonka Kids. I'm, you know, going on 18. I don't need that on my resume. And I'm like, oh, but you were so cute. I need it needs to be on
the resume. Yeah, but like no one's going to care.
No one cares. They are not. No one's going to hire you at 18 because you were Candyman and Wonka Kids. So it's time to update it. It needs to be removed. And that's actually right. So if you have stuff on your resume that is old news... or, you know, if you have more leads now than ensemble, then you're going to have to, you know, take that stuff off the resume. So not just compiling it is the first thing. You got to get it all together. And then, of course, once you have it, you need to keep it updated. It's easier to keep it edited than it is putting it together. And so I think the resume should be at the top of the to-do list because not only do you need a resume for the auditions, but you need resume if you ever go for a job interview. Of course, they're going to be different, but once you get it started, a lot of the, you know, information will carry over, like, you know, talents and references and dates and education will be the same. So when you compile it, so it takes time, you get it all together, you can't do it. Don't say, oh, I have an audition next week, I'll just type out the resume now. No, I would allow yourself a couple of weeks, actually, to do it. Get it all together. There's plenty of samples online. And follow those samples. And some places that you go, I know what you do the intensives, like BAA, they have formats that they want you to have specifically for like what New York likes. So you can look that up, make sure they're up to date, current resumes. Don't be pulling something out from 2005 and say, oh, I like how this looks. You want to stay relevant and current.
Yeah, you don't want to... like I said earlier, if it is even a year old, the information is outdated.
Right. Yeah, not just information, but I just meant the style.
Well, I mean, everything.
Yes, yes.
That goes for everything. The information, the template, just the way things were generally done.
And I'm big on, you know, more is better. As far as if you do your resume, you need to show it around. Look at this. Look for errors. How does it look? Does it make sense? Are there typos? It's not like a secret thing. You want to pass it around to a couple of people that you trust.
Yeah, show it to a friend.
And have them, you know, like, you know, it might look perfect in your eye or it might make sense and they could be confused. Like, I don't even understand what's going on here. It needs to be uniform. You can't start with the date on one line and then the title of the show and then the next one you put your part and then the date. It's got to all match. It's got to look pretty. And like I said, it takes time to gather it all and figure out the dates. So definitely start on that. Even if you're not planning on going out for a job immediately or an audition immediately.
Just have the draft in your computer. Exactly. I mean, it's not that hard, guys. Just keep the draft when you have it.
Yes. It's just time consuming. It's definitely time consuming.
It's easier to go back and edit than to create that from scratch.
Correct. And this is really interesting. The Career Guide website says that the person reviewing your resume will do so in a 6-second scan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, 6 seconds. What is the most important thing? This is not a mystery novel. No. Your biggest part, your biggest accomplishment better not be buried in there, and it better not be the last thing I see. If I'm only, somebody's going to spend 6 seconds, it better be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Make the greatest impact. All the relevant information's got to, and it's got to be legible. That's why it cannot be like super small font. I'm going to cram 2 papers in on one. No, it's got to be just the highlights. If you've got the goods, they'll ask, what else have you done? What else have, you know, do you have experience with this? And then you could say things that are not on your resume, but, oh, and every audition you go to, you may need to alter the resume a little.
Exactly.
I know we flip-flop stuff, depending on if you're going out for a more serious role or a more comical role. We'll flip-flop stuff around and put stuff at the top.
Yeah.
And because if that's what they're going to see, we want them to see the top stuff first.
Mommy and Nikki and I really play the game. We really are like, okay, girl, it's this audition. We got to put that at the top, you know?
Right. And that goes for everything. That all goes for your audition song as well. You just don't go in with the same song, the same monologue every time. You need to adapt it.
Exactly.
And the next important thing you need is...
headshots!
Woo! Yes. And what is a headshot? Is it just your school picture?
No, absolutely not. That's the worst. Not.
Is it just... if I mean, I know sometimes we're in a pinch. We've been in a pinch. We've had to do the... try to do the natural shot outside in the backyard. We've had to do the blank wall... I mean, the... you know, the blank wall behind us and try to do it. I know sometimes when you're in a pinch, you have to do the best you can and try to get the best picture, but it is more than just a quickie picture, you know. And don't do your Christmas picture where you're all in your Santa hat and everything and try to use that as your headshot.
It's not your Christmas card. I mean...
it is not.
There's honestly an art to the headshot. Like, it has to be of your face. It has to be well lit. It has to look aesthetic. Just because, you know, I mean... It's like your calling card.
Exactly. It has to look like you. Don't come in with your headshot when you had blue hair and now you're in front of me and you got blonde hair.
Or especially when you're young. I mean, like, every 6 months you look different. You know?
You got braces and this one from 2 years ago, but now you're in front of me and you don't have braces. I don't even know what I'm looking at. Your headshot should be a current and representative of who you are. Yes. It should be 8x10 and it should be printed out on photo paper.
Yeah.
They'll be doing it at home on just regular old notebook paper type stuff.
Yeah.
Typing paper. And even if you're in a pinch and you have to go to Walmart and have to get it printed, I mean, make do, but do it the best you can. But when you have money and you have time, you need to find a professional photographer to do the headshots. And there are some affordable stuff, some for people out there. You know, it's not all, you know, $400, $500, $800. You know, shots. We have found some for $75, $100, $130, and they need to be, you know, research the person, make sure the pictures are good, their quality is good. But sometimes, you know, the person will look at that picture, that's the look we need, this is the person I want, let's call this person in, or I remember this person because it looks like you.
Yeah. And I've gotten things... oh, excuse me. I've gotten jobs based on how I looked. Like, if it's like they're casting like a family and all of them have like brown curly hair and like freckles. I mean, that's me. I have brown curly hair and freckles.
So like, this is our son. Let's do it. Let's bring him in. So, exactly. And that's what I say. Don't always be discouraged when you don't get a part, because sometimes there is a look that they need.
Exactly. And I mean... as unfair as it is, I mean, if you're, like, blonde with blue eyes, I mean, it's harder to put you into, like, a family that's, like, has, like, a darker complexion, or, like, all of them have dark hair. You just kind of, like, it's kind of like a sore thumb, and I mean, You know, and it's different. And I've been in positions where I'm not the blonde with the blue eyes, and that's why I don't get it. So there's, like, a time and place, and I mean, it's not one of those things to get discouraged about.
No, no. And, you know, because there will be another part. There's always stuff going on. Especially here in the Tampa area, there's so many opportunities for community theater and local theaters, and more so than I think I've seen in other locations. For sure, it was interesting enough, when we lived in California, I don't remember any theater stuff. They didn't even have theaters in the school in they our didn't. Area.
I found
that really interesting. I said, this is California. And that was before we were into theater, so I could be a little bit mistaken. But it seemed like that stuff wasn't there locally for us. Anyway, so the headshot is an introduction and a first impression.
It is.
And so for musical theater, the headshot allows the director to immediately, like we just said, a physical match. And that information, he can just set, you know, the director, he or she can just set that information aside. Important, your name and your phone number, the correct information, need to be on your headshot and on your resume. Even if your name's, like, professionally printed on the front of the headshot, if they need to contact you on the back of the headshot, you make sure that your phone number's there. Write it in a Sharpie. Don't let it poke through the resume. But if your resume and your headshot get separated on your headshot, your phone number needs to be there so they can say, I can't find the other information, but I need to contact this person. So that's always a good tip to have the your phone number on there as well.
For sure, 100%.
So those are the top two things, the headshot and resume. I mean, that's not all, because we want to maybe talk about the music for people going into musical theater.
Yes. And then, like, when you go into the music stuff, that's a whole different ball game. So the third most important thing you need is music. And I mean, like, that's all, like, your rep book, and that's your sheet music, and we'll get into that, but that we'll take another break. Yes. I really want to show you guys another song. This is So Much Better from Legally Blonde, sung by Laura Bell Budney and the original cast of Legally Blonde. Catch you on the flip-flop.
All of this time I planned I'd be patient and you would love me again. You'd come to respect my mind, and at last you'd find you could love me again. And I have turned my whole world upside down, trying not to let you go. Watching you walk away, it's like a fatal blow.
Whoa!
Is that my name up on that list? Does someone know that I exist? Is this a mistake? Am I even awake? Pinch me now to make sure. Ah! Yes, that's my name in black and white. Maybe I'm doing something right. Whoa, I feel so much better.
Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Bitchin' 'Bout Broadway on Hawk Radio Anchor FM. I'm Elijah Zurich, your host, with my co-host, Nikki Zurich today, my bestie and my mother. The song we just heard was So Much Better from Legally Blonde the Musical. I think that musical ran... I think that Legally Blonde the Musical walked so that Mean Girls and Heathers could run. That's just my personal thought.
Well, I love that song. I enjoyed that one so much. It's very inspiring to me.
It is, period. Yes. So, like I said before the break, we're talking about auditions and auditioning and the process of it. And I wanted to discuss sheet music. So, like, what I do, what everyone I know does, is that we all get, like, a binder, and then we put our sheet music with, like, our cuts in there, our 1 minute, our 16 bar, our 32 bar, and sometimes, like, if you're not Equity and you're in New York, your 8-bar cut into this binder, and we call it a rep book. Rep stands for representative, as in, like, the representative material of who you are as a performer. So, like, when you go in for an audition, this is, like, the kind of music that you sing for the roles that you kind of want to be cast in.
Yeah, and they have to be clean copies, because the pianist has to be able to...
Yeah, and there's also, like, a...
Read it.
Period. And there's also a discrepancy as to whether, like, you can have sheet protectors. I've never had a problem, and I've always had sheet protectors. So, I think it honestly just depends on the pianist. And every pianist will have a different preference of what they want. So, I mean, just kind of see who you're auditioning for before you go in, I guess. But I've never had a problem with the sheet protectors. And I have mine in sheet protectors. I like to keep mine really organized. So I have mine in sheet protectors in the My Binder. And then I have, like, page dividers. And if you're really fancy, which I think that everyone should do, is type out a little list of everything in your book.
Your title page?
Yeah, your title page. Like, your little table of contents. And, you know, for that, like, once every blue moon, when they're like, what else do you have? You can be like, oh, well, anything on this list, my brother. And it's, like, a whole time. So.
Oh, and specifically, when you're going to an audition, you should not, unless specifically asked, you should not take a song from the show you're auditioning for.
Exactly. 100%.
But you should try to get something in the aesthetic of the show.
Yes. And some shows are really hard to audition for, like Spring Awakening specifically. There's not a lot like it. And when I went in for that, I was like, whatever, we'll just sing like something we sing well. But now looking back on it, I'm like, ugh, I could have done like a pop song because it's a rock musical. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wasn't even thinking about that. But that is actually becoming more and more common that you are asked to sing from the show for an audition. So
I find it encouraging that, you know, you do an audition and you look back and you say, oh, I could have done this or I should have done it this way. But that's how you learn and you improve, because each audition, you're like, maybe I could have picked a different song or a different monologue, or maybe I've been prepared better a different way as this. But that's, every single one is a learning experience, is it not?
Exactly. And I also find that, like, I learn a lot of vocal technique after I audition. Like, I'm like, LOL, I could have just, you know, not, like, just mixed that note. I really overthought it, you know? And I think that with, like, the nerves of everything, you're like, oh my gosh, this is what they're looking for. But you don't know what they're looking for. And this is, like, something I struggle with, because I'm like, oh no, they're gonna hate me if I don't do this XYZ. I'm like, and now I'm just starting to realize that it's not. And I think a lot of rules were invented, like, you can't do this in the audition room. Like, I mean, obviously there are some things, like, you just can't go in there and act like you're, like, having a nice time. But, well, I mean, you do have to be nice to have a nice time. You have to show that you are a good hang, like I said earlier. So, I don't know. I mean, there's rules that you have to follow in terms of, like, it's not your world and they're just living in it. But you have to show that, like, you are cohesive and that, like, you would work well with others. You have to look like the kind of person that would gel with other people.
Yes, that's teachable, like, yes, and easy to work with.
Yeah.
But dedicated.
Well, yeah, dedicated and has their priorities, and it's not like, oh, I just kind of walked in here off the street and I guess I'm going to go to my accounting job at, like, 4. Like, come on. Like, you have to do something. And, I mean, that's kind of funny because Jessica Vosk, one of my favorites, left
a career on Wall Street, and now she's like Elphaba. So I love her, but you know, it's just one of those things that you have to like be you, but also be professional. But don't be like standing in there like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared, because they don't want you to be scared of them. They're on your side.
Yes, and not take it personal. I just don't know how many times I could go in and not get the part I wanted or be told no. I think it really, you just have to have it in your mind, enough confidence to know, okay, maybe I don't fit this one, but it doesn't mean I won't fit the next one or right. any of them.
100%. And just because you don't make an audition with that director then doesn't mean that you can't go back and audition later. Because, I mean, I've seen people in, like, because I've directed before, they've auditioned for me, and I'm like, okay, well, they just don't fit this show. And I still think they're crazy talented. Like, and I've even been in shows with them, like, these people. And these people that I haven't cast in some of my shows have even been, like, my closest friends, you know? So, I don't know. I think that it's not a personal thing. I mean, sometimes it can be, but it's very obscure. And if it is a personal thing, most likely you know that it's like you dated the director in high school and they're still mad at you for XYZ. Like, usually you know. But, you know, it's just not, it's not personal. I mean, it's show business. It's a business first. It's a business for a reason. So it's not a personal thing at all. For sure.
So if you come in with your sheet music, you just have to make sure you are prepared and practiced on it.
Right. And there's like a whole way to talk to the pianist too. Like, that's an art in itself that, I mean, I'm sure you could learn. The biggest thing is like, don't snap at them. Like, don't just go up to them and be like, this is my tempo. You know, because it's a little bit disrespectful. Some of them I've actually found don't mind it, but they prefer more of like a pat on the thigh or like a pat on your chest.
And you ask them, can I give you my
tempo? You're like, okay. They're like, you know, at first I like to ask, okay, do you know the song? Do you think we're good? And they're like, usually they're like, yes, but just give me the tempo. Because if they're sitting there all day, chances are they like are musical theater fans. And they're like, okay, like I'll play for this audition and get paid, you know? And then they go in and they play for the auditions and they get paid and it's fun. And then sometimes they're like, living their life, and they're just like, okay, period, I know this song, like, I got you, just go up there, do your thing. And that's like, that for me is like some of the best, because they're just like so confident, and it makes me confident, and I love it. And I love a good pianist that'll vibe with me. I always like that.
Oh yeah, and that probably comes across in your song to your performance.
Yeah, because they are, and you always have to be kind to your pianist. I mean, why wouldn't you be? I've heard stories of people that were unkind to the pianist, and I don't understand why. I'm like, the pianist is your duet partner in your audition because they're performing with you. They're playing your music. So they it kind of falls on their shoulders whether you do well or not. I mean, to an extent. I mean, you can always like start over, or if they're not getting it, just be like, okay, I'm going to pull up a track, because at that point, like, your pianist just isn't getting it. So,
and when you go in for an audition, I mean, there are places, I mean, because we're talking community theater, some places will not have a pianist, or maybe somebody calls out sick. So it is good to have a backup track.
Yeah, you should always have like a track on YouTube that you play with, that you sing with, or if you have a vocal coach that plays piano, have them play your sheet music and have a track of it. So that way when you sing it, you can have a track that you know you like, and like with the acting beats you want in there, or a certain tempo that you like more than others. So yeah, I mean, I like that I'm just saying, like, so yeah. But, and, like, it's simple, but it's not.
It takes a lot of time to get that. I know that there was times when we were like, sheet music? How do we even get sheet music?
Yeah, and
we were trying to figure that out.
There's some great websites. So the main one is Music Notes, and you can buy the sheet music and get it printed. Or there is Scribd, and Scribd is like a book site where you can just kind of read books digitally, and you pay a certain amount a month. And then you get unlimited, and it's like a whole thing. So you can, and sometimes they have the sheet music on there, and then sometimes they don't. Like, I mean, any website. But those are my two main outlets. And then, of course, if you have a vocal coach, you can just be like, hey, do you have access to, like, this sheet music? And they're like, most likely they'll be like, oh, yeah, I have a little database. Because that my vocal coaches, I know they have, like, little drives. Little, I should say. But it's, like, the sheet music that they've compiled over the years on a scan. So they have them all in, like, little PDFs, and they just send me the PDF. And I'm like, okay, but, like, why would you have this song? Like, it's so random. But it's just something they found and they thought was a good song, and they were just saving it for later, I guess.
Yeah, an old school would just be, like, go to a music store or Amazon and buy the book, because there are books that have songs in it. But you can't manipulate keys or anything in that.
Like, I remember I was watching the documentary on how Miss Saigon was cast with, like, Lais Longa and all of that. And they showed a video of one girl singing, like, the one of the, like, girls that they were, like, really interested in for the role. And she sang, like, weirdly enough, she sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow from Wizard of Oz. But she had, like, the whole Wizard of Oz book, right? And then Lais Longa, she sang On My Own from Les Mis for her audition. Mm-hmm. And she had the whole Les Mis book, so it was just in there.
Because that was a long time ago. Was that, like, over 20 years ago?
It has to be.
So that was probably...
Yeah. Was somewhere in the 90s,
these, yeah. Yeah, they didn't have these websites where you could just print the sheet music.
No, and I don't think... I think that songs being overdone was just kind of a normal thing. And, like, now it's like, ew, don't use an overdone song, but...
Oh, yeah, talk about that. What is an overdone song?
I don't know. It's just, like, kind of a song that gets old, or I don't know if it's
old, so popular that everybody wants to sing it.
Yeah, like, well, you know, like, Let It Go got so popular, now everyone's like, I hate Let It Go. Well, that's kind of, like, some of the songs in theater. Like, to name a few, we got, like, basically anything from Les Mis. Right now, My Fair Lady is really popular. Lightning Thief is very popular. Anything Mean Girls is extremely popular. Kind of shouldn't do that. Beauty and the Beast is crazy popular. Wicked is, like, Wicked and Hamilton and Phantom of the Opera are, like, a rule. Like, you do not use those.
Yeah, I was going to say Burn from Hamilton, because when that came out, everybody was wanting to sing that.
Yeah, song. For sure. Prom and Waitress are getting to the point where it's, like, overdone, and I'm like, okay, lay off.
Because chances are you could go into an audition, there could be three or four other girls or guys singing that same song.
Oh, for sure. Or are girls gays and theys? You never know. Period. We gotta represent. I also know that for, like, the younger age group, I know that, like, the big no-no is basically Annie and Matilda. Those are, like, the big ones that we don't love to see. Or, I guess they don't wanna... The people on the panel don't want to hear, so... Oh, and then, like, Grease is, like, kind of on the nose. So, those are some examples. And then I could get, like, really obscure. Like, overdone audition song... Dead Mom from Beetlejuice, absolutely. And, like, and what else is, like, a overdone audition song? I guess, like, some of these songs that we've heard today, like, So Much Better, I think, is considered one of them. Like, not a lot of people can sing it well, but the people that can definitely have it in their book, and they hear it, and people that on the panel hear it way too much, far too much. So, that's just, like, a brief list, honestly. Like, there's a lot of overdone songs. And I did a TikTok about it, and it, like, kind of blew up because everyone knows about it. Like, everyone knows about the overdone audition songs. And then there's, like, also Anastasia. That's another big one. But I'll get off my tangent. But yes.
It's just something to be aware of and maybe look into. If you know a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, like, oh, I sing that. Then there might be an overdone audition song.
Yeah. I mean, like, even to an extent, like, Thoroughly Modern Millie at a point was one of them. I don't know if it still is, but I remember I had a friend that was singing, like, Gimme Gimme, and she was at an audition. I think it was for West Side Story, and she was like, she looked at the girl next to her, like, on either side of her. She was supposed to go second. So she asked the girl going first, she was like, what are you singing? And she was like, I'm singing Gimme Gimme from Thoroughly Modern Millie. She was like, oh my god, that's my song. And then she asked the girl on her other side, and she said, what song are you singing? And she said, Gimme Gimme from Thoroughly Modern Millie. So then she was like, oh no, I've got to change my song. So then she changed her song just before she went in, so.
And ooh. You went to an audition, like, over a year ago, and there was a girl there who sang Gimme Gimme.
Oh, yeah. I hear Gimme Gimme a lot. I love Gimme Gimme from Thoroughly Modern Millie, though. I love Thoroughly Modern Millie's score. If you haven't heard it yet, listen to it. It was, like, Sutton Foster's breakout role, I think.
She won the Tony.
That's when she won the Tony. Well, I don't know if she won the Tony for Millie. She won the Tony for Shrek. For Fiona.
Okay. Okay, that's something I have to look up. I thought she
anyways, do what she might have. Anyway, she was fantastic as Millie, and it's still my favorite role that she's ever done, ever. That and Princess Fiona. She's perfect. I mean, she's Sutton Foster.
She is.
And also, she kills it as Queenie in The Wild Party, and I think we need a revival of that, like, right now. Andrew Lipa, all his work. Anyway, yeah, so overdone audition songs. Oh, and then, like, there's a good rule of thumb. Like, anything made popular by Sutton, Idina Menzel, Gavin Creel was one of them at one point, but now I think that the Gavin Creel spot is Jeremy Jordan, because I think that, like, Gavin Creel music has kind of got buried in terms of, like, new generation of theater kids and adults that used his material or cast or given up. So, I think that the new... So, like, Jeremy, anything made popular by Jeremy Jordan, Idina Menzel, or...
What about Casey?
Casey Levy, no, actually.
Okay, Sutton Foster was the
Sutton Foster, Idina Menzel, and Jeremy Jordan. I think those are, like, the main ones. So, those are basically the ones to steer clear. I mean, when I say made popular, I put an emphasis on made popular by, because... I mean, I have songs that Jeremy Jordan has sung in his life, but they were not made popular by him. Like, I do not want to hear Santa Fe in the audition. That is, like...
From Newsies.
There's, like, a literal... Yes, there's a literal TikTok trend, like, oh my gosh, he sang Santa Fe. Like, it's, like, a whole thing that... It's a joke. Santa Fe is the joke. So you don't want to be the one that comes in with Santa Fe. Like, as nice as the song is, we don't want to hear it. Put it away. Save it for your, like... High school reunion, I don't know, but, like, we don't want to hear it in the audition.
Save your
it
for shower.
When, yeah, your shower. Save it for when you are Jack Kelly. But save it for your callbacks for Jack Kelly. Just don't do it, girl. Don't do it.
Anyway, I think we covered a lot of great stuff. I mean, there's... the
it's
what you really, yeah, what you're really going to do is learn by doing. Yes, and not be discouraged. No. And every time you go, just like you said, every time... Even now, you'll be, oh, I could have sung that differently, or maybe I should have picked a different song. It's ongoing.
It is.
It's a journey. Don't give up.
And also, it's
enjoy it.
Yes, and also, it's very specific to who you are, and you have to learn your quirks that you should bring to the audition and the ones you should leave at home. You know, that's something I've had to notice. Like, I like to look around a lot. Like, my eyes go everywhere, and then... I like to turn my head to the right when I belt really high. So, like, those are my quirks that I'm trying to leave at home. But, you know, you have to find yours. And then, like, my quirks that I like to bring into the audition room is I like to have fun. And I like to kind of show that I am very quirky and I don't fit the mold. I mean, like, I have to fit the mold they're trying to cast. But, you know, sometimes you got to break it a little bit to be put in it. So... Period. That's what I like. That's everything I've got, honestly. So, thank you so much, everyone, for listening and tuning in. And thank you, Nikki, for sitting here with me and doing this with me.
Oh, yes. I always enjoy it. I talk to you 24/7, I feel like, anyway.
I adore you. So, now we're going to say our goodbyes with a song that you've probably heard on Disney Plus. This is My Shot from Hamilton. And... It's kind of our little audition anthem, and we love this song, but never use it in an audition. Have a great day. Stay inspired. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. A scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is I got a lot of brains but no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough, a shining piece of coal, trying to reach my goal. My power of speech unimpeachable. Only 19 but my mind is older. These New York City streets get cold. I shoulder every burden, every disadvantage I've learned to manage. I don't have a gun to brandish. I walk these streets famished. The plan is to fan this spark into a flame, but damn, it's getting dark, so let me spell out the name. I am the A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R. We are meant to be a colony that runs independently. Meanwhile, Britain keeps shitting on us endlessly. Essentially, they tax us relentlessly. Then King George turns around, runs a spending spree. He ain't never gonna set his decision.
descendants free. So there will be a revolution in this century. Enter me,
he says in parentheses.
Don't be shocked when your history book mentions me. I will lay down my life if it sets us free. Eventually you'll see my ascendancy. And I am not thrown away my shot. I am not thrown away my shot. Hey yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not thrown away my shot. I am not thrown away my shot. I am not thrown away my shot. Hey yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not thrown away my shot. It's time to take a shot.
I dream of life without a monarchy. The unrest in France will lead to anarchy. Anarchy, how you say? How you say? Oh, anarchy. When I fight, I make the other side panicky with my
shit.
Yo, I'm a tailor's apprentice, and I got y'all knuckleheads and local parentis. I'm joining a rebellion, cause I know it's my chance to socially advance. Instead of sewing some pants, I'm gon' take a shit.
And but we'll never be truly free until those in bondage have the same rights as you and me. Right. You and I do or die. Ooh. Wait till I sally in on a stallion with the first black battalion, have another shot.
Geniuses, lower your voices. You keep out of trouble and you double your choices. I'm with you, but the situation is fraught. You've got to be carefully taught. If you talk, you're gonna get shot.
Bird, check what we got. Mr. Lafayette, hard rock like Lancelot. I think your pants look hot. Lawrence, I like you a lot. Let's hatch a plot blacker than the kettle calling the pot. What are the odds of God to put us all in one spot? Pop in a squad and conventional wisdom, like it or not. A bunch of revolutionary manumission abolitionists. Give me a position, show me where the ammunition is. Oh, am I talking too loud? Sometimes I get overexcited, shoot off at the mouth. I never had a group of friends before. I promise that I'll make y'all proud.
Let's get this guy in front of a crowd.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot.
Everybody sing!
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Imagine death so much it feels more like a memory. When's it gonna get me? In my sleep, 7 feet ahead of me. If I see it coming, do I run or do I let it be? Is it like a beat without a melody? See, I never thought I'd live past 20. Where I come from, some get half as many. Ask anybody why we live it fast. And we laugh, reach for a flask. We have to make this moment last. That's plenty, scratch that. This is not a moment, it's the movement. Where all the hungriest brothers with something to prove went. Foes oppose us, we take an honest stand. We roll like Moses, claiming our promised land. And if we win our independence, is that a guarantee of freedom for our descendants? Or will the blood we shed begin an endless cycle of vengeance and death with no defendants? I know the action in the street is exciting, but Jesus, between all the bleeding and fighting, I've been reading and writing. We need to handle our financial situation. Are we a nation of states? What's the state of our nation? I'm past patiently waiting, I'm passionately smashing every expectation. Every action's an act of creation. I'm laughing in the face of casualties and sorrow. For the first time, I'm thinking past tomorrow.
I